From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Deliver Us from Evil, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Precious Things. The text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 13. And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath. We may be rich in such things as Joseph obtained, and we may have them in a higher sense. Oh, for the precious things of heaven! Power with God and the manifestation of power from God are most precious. We would enjoy the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, the glory of our God, the benediction of the three divine persons in love and grace and fellowship we prize beyond the most fine gold. The things of earth are as nothing in preciousness compared with the things of heaven. The dew. How precious is this! How we pray and praise when we have the dew! What refreshing, what growth, what perfume, what life there is in us when the dew is about! Above all things else, as plants of the Lord's own right hand planting, we need the dew of His Holy Spirit. The deep that coucheth beneath. Surely this refers to that unseen ocean underground which supplies all the fresh springs which make glad the earth. Oh, to tap the eternal fountains! This is an unspeakable boon. Let no believer rest till he possesses it. The all-sufficiency of Jehovah is ours forever. Let us resort to it now. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land." In these days, when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanphier. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer, free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. Current message is dealing with the final petition in the Lord's Prayer, "But deliver us from evil." In addressing this subject, Dr. Cairns has declared that in this petition we are asking God to enable us to live in the full liberty of the sons of God. Using the example of Israel during their deliverance from Egyptian bondage and subsequent wilderness wanderings, Dr. Cairns shows that God's will for his people was that they live in the fullness of what he had provided for them, not in defeat and failure. Similarly, the Lord has provided his fullness for believers in Christ through justification and sanctification. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns and the ministry of Let the Bible Speak, We wish you and yours a most blessed and joyous Christmas. May the truth of Christ's coming into the world to save sinners be a living reality at this happy time and throughout the coming year. Let us rejoice in Emmanuel, God with us. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, Deliverance from Evil to Liberty.
God's will for this people was that they would be living in the enjoyment of what He had given to them and made possible for them in the land of Canaan. That was true both nationally and individually. Take it at an individual level. The psalmist said in Psalm 56:13, Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I might walk before God in the light of the living? Why had God delivered him from death? In order that He would deliver him from falling. In order that he would walk in light. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 makes it clear, when you're walking in the light, you're walking in the full experience of the blood atonement of Christ, and you're walking in fellowship with God. That's why God delivered him from death, that he might walk in light and in fellowship in the full enjoyment as a believer of what God had provided. It was true not only for the individual, but for the body politic, for the whole nation. Remember what Obadiah verse 17 says, upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Why, there's an interesting turn of phrase. Possess their possessions. That seems to use the big word tautology, but it's not. It's good theology. You see, by God's covenant, Canaan was Jacob's possession. But for how many years and even hundreds of years could you look at Canaan and realize that Jacob and Israel was not in possession? This is what the Lord is saying should be true of the nation. They should possess their possessions. In New Testament terms, this is what the Lord wants for every Christian and for every Christian church. He wants us to live in the fullness of what He has provided for us in Christ. You take the book of Ephesians. What is it all about? What is the central message of the book of Ephesians? It is all about Christians possessing their possessions. The first great segment of Ephesians deals with the wealth that belongs to a Christian. The next great segment deals with the walk, as we walk into that wealth and enjoy it. And then the final great segment has to deal with the warfare, as we defend those possessions from the attack of the devil. Possessing our possessions. I was just reading this morning the 69th Psalm, and in the 35th verse we read, God will see of Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. Why does God see of you? There are many reasons. The ultimate, the glory of God. Secondarily, the saving of your soul. The bringing you from hell to heaven as an everlasting praise to Christ. But we may also say God has saved you in order that you may dwell in the land into which He has brought you and have it in possession. What possessions He has given us in Christ. We love the words of Ephesians 1:3. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You remember, well, maybe you don't, but it's so long ago now. But I have a fond hope that some of you will remember when we were doing that long series of messages on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. I spent time in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 with a text that I said was the most significant text about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian. And yet, it's a work that I cannot find referred to in any book I have read on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. It's the overlooked work of the Holy Ghost, and yet it's the most important of all in the life of a Christian. And what is it? It is making Christians know the things that are freely given to them of God in Christ. Now you think of that. Making us know what God has freely given to us in Jesus Christ. That's the fundamental work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The Lord has brought us into a good land, into the true Canaan. If David was able to say, as we read this morning, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. How much more can Christians say that? He has brought us into a large place. The idea is a place of liberty, a place of expansive fullness, a place of God's wealth, a place of God's provision. When God saves his people, he does a wonderful job of it. When he gives eternal life, it is not with a niggardly hand that he gives to them. It is fully and freely. God has bestowed the unsearchable riches of his grace in Jesus Christ upon all his people. He has not saved us to let us live like spiritual paupers. He has not saved us that we may limp through life as spiritual cripples. God has saved us that we may live the Canaan experience to the full. That's why he has saved us. He has given us liberty. He has called us unto and into liberty. You take the whole description of salvation. What is it? It's a description of liberty. Redemption. In Christ we have redemption through his blood. What is redemption? Many modern translations simply translate it deliverance. That's half a truth. It is deliverance. It's deliverance by the payment of the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. It is the loosing of a slave out of the slave market of his sin. It is the breaking of his bonds, bringing him into the glorious knowledge of sins forgiven in Jesus Christ and through the merits of his atonement. Redemption. And of course, it is the first installment of heaven. What is the eternal state of the people of God? When body and soul are glorified, sinless. What is the description of that? It is redemption. That's the word that Paul uses. The redemption of the body is when the body, glorified and made sinless, is united with the soul, glorified and made sinless. It's redemption. So when we have redemption, we have it in its fullness. Oh, we haven't yet entered the glorified state. But we have started on the road. It's a road of liberty. We're not the slaves of Satan anymore. We're not the slaves of sin anymore. We're not the slaves of passion, lust, and pride anymore. We're not in chains any longer. We are the free-born sons of God. The liberty of redemption. Take the word justification. What does it signify? Again, it's an aspect of liberty. In fact, our authorized version in Romans 6, verse 7 says, he that is dead, or he that died, the idea is our identification with Christ. He that died in Christ is freed from sin. The Greek text is simply, has been justified from sin. He that died in Christ has been justified from sin. What does it mean? He has been set free from its dominion. He has been set free from its guilt. He has been set free from every thunderbolt and every thrust of the law of God against his sin. He's justified. Justification is an aspect of freedom. You want to follow that through, see how the Apostle Paul conjoins the two terms in the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is all about justification, but it's all about liberty. They are really not two themes, but two aspects of the one theme. Take the word sanctification. What is sanctification? It's an aspect of liberty. When Paul the Apostle was lamenting the old man, the old inward inclination to sin, and the motions of the flesh that still remain in every unglorified saint, he cried in Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's sanctification. That ongoing deliverance from the dominion of sin. That ongoing dominion or deliverance from the power of sin. That ongoing experience of the crucifying of the flesh and living in the resurrection power of Christ. That's sanctification, but that is liberty. God has called us to that liberty. As Paul told the Thessalonians, God has saved us, called us, appointed us to what? To holiness. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. This is the will of God. Just as it was not the will of God for Israel in the land of Canaan to be falling down before idols and them to be taken captive by various ungodly heathen nations, so it is not the will of God for born again, blood washed, justified, redeemed people to be falling down before the idols of the world and to be defeated by the lusts of the flesh. It's not the will of God. Sanctification is part of the liberty into which we're called. This is the will of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcma.org. That's www.fpcma.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.